This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders this fourth Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Before our Lord Jesus left this earth, he gave his disciples a promise, "I will return." And that's our theme for the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come deeply into the Advent season, we pray your Holy Spirit's presence as we consider these texts that deal with the comings of our Savior. O Lord, we thank you that you came once and that there you made atonement for our sins. And now we pray that as we think about your second coming, our hearts may be warmed with your word and we may take seriously that message which you gave to the disciples, but also to your church in this day. Grant, O God, that we may keep watch for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1942, the Japanese army forced General Douglas MacArthur and his troops to leave the Philippines. When he left, MacArthur gave the people a promise, "I will return." His promise was kept. In 1945, he presented himself to the people of the Philippines as the victor. The war was won. The fighting was over. He had returned. I have often wondered if MacArthur got those words, "I will return," from Jesus. We are only 1 week from Christmas, and we think of that night when God came into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our minds go beyond Bethlehem's manger to recall the suffering that Jesus went through, which climaxed at the cross of Calvary when he said, "It is finished." Then 3 days later, Jesus rose, not only as a crucified Savior, but as a risen Lord. And then he left his children a promise: "I will return." That was given to them throughout the ministry of 3 years, but especially as he drew closer to his leaving them, they always knew of the second coming of Christ. And today we celebrate his first coming. We await also the second coming of our Lord, which is one of the assigned texts for the Advent season, that as he came once, he will come again. When we go back to our Bibles, we learn that the people of old, David's people, had some understanding of what this Messiah might be like. Not the details, and so they were continually confused when he presented himself as the Messiah. They thought he would be a warrior who would gather together the people of Israel and they would fight the Romans and gain victory. And nothing could have been farther from the truth. But Isaiah did tell them this: "Therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." This is a word that was spoken to the house of David. A few weeks ago, I mentioned to you that if we took all of the mystery out of the Christmas gospel, we wouldn't have much left. And here is one of the mysteries: that Jesus Christ, when he came, was going to be born of a virgin. And next Sunday, when we get into the Christmas gospel per se, we will see how Mary reacts to all of this. But the prophets also gave another bit of information. In Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2, we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you shall come forth one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origin are from of old, from ancient times." There would be signs of the time that not only would Jesus be born of a virgin, but he would be born in Bethlehem. And that night of Jesus' birth, I don't think anybody there thought, "This is the Christ." None of those who were around. Simply Joseph and Mary, holding that secret within. What did it all mean? The mystery of it. But the time came and Jesus was born. It is at birth we celebrate at Christmas, but at the same time we look forward to his second coming. And so as a part of the Advent season, leading up then to the final week of the Christmas preparation, we talk about the second coming of Christ. What can we know as we live in this century of ours? Well, there are a few hints that have been given to us too, and it is well for us to really understand. I read to you from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at verse 36. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other one will be left. But therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. This is the word. We have no understanding. From time to time, you and I read about people who have predicted certain days that he was coming. And quite often we'll hear people say, I think that the end is near, that Christ is coming. We can wonder about it. We can even try to look at some of the signs that are round about us. But no one can say dogmatically, this is when he's coming. Not even the angels know. Not even Jesus, when he was here on his incarnate state, knew. It was simply this, that he was coming again. I will return. Time moves on, and Jesus hasn't come. But when he comes, it'll be different than it was the first time. For he will come as the victor. I don't like to use a human's picture here. But as MacArthur came back to the Philippines as the victor, so our Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And here Paul tells us in the book of Philippians that God has highly exalted Jesus to the highest place, and he has given him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue on heaven and earth should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, it is not the same Christ who is coming back that men can throw around and do with what they wanted to. It is not the Christ who would ever again hang upon a cross. It was a victorious Christ who had come forth from the grave. And 40 days after that of resurrection, he had ascended into heaven with the promise to the disciples, I will come again. But when I come, I will not only be the Savior of the nations, but I will be the Lord of all. It is victory, friend. And so today, as we think back on that great piece of scripture that tells us these little nuggets of what is going to happen, we see the victorious Christ who is ours. When you look at that little babe of Bethlehem's manger, with our knowledge today from the Holy Scriptures, we can see that he had tough days ahead. There would be a difficult time, and we would think that it was all but defeat. For as he went to Calvary, they pounded him, they insulted him, and they crucified him. That was defeat. But the next time, no. For he has won a place for his children in the kingdom of heaven. It is also true that as he comes, he will gather all the nations around him. Can you imagine that, what that would be like? All the nations, way back from the beginning, and every knee will bow before the Lord. There, I cannot understand all of this. But take the mystery. Take the mystery out of the Christmas story, and you have little left. But it will be a grand and glorious day. And at that particular time, there will come the judgment. Now, here has been this great gospel, and the people have had every opportunity in the world to hear it. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord will hear his voice saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your heavenly home." This is a home that he said to his disciples before leaving them, that I've gone to prepare a place for you. And I will come again, that's the second coming, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you and I will be also for all eternity. The details, no. The message, yes. And we receive it in faith that Christ has come and he is going to come again. And then there will be the judgment. But for those who have said no, we want nothing to do with you at all, then it will be, depart from me, for I never knew you. And that is for all eternity. Hell. So this is a message of the second coming, which we can't help but think about as we celebrate the first coming. That's why Jesus came. That's why these mysteries that we have to try to figure out, and though we can't do it, we still keep trying, that will be fulfilled. That's why he came, to live for 33 years, and the last 3 years were extremely difficult. Now, why didn't the people accept it? Well, the disciples, of course, believed that he was going to return. They had heard it from his own lips, but they thought he was going to return soon, that they would still be here, that they would be able to see him as a Christ who had come to judge the living and the dead. But he didn't come, and he hasn't come yet. And so they began to wonder, I imagine. I know many have. Well, if it was going to have happened, certainly by now. But here we get a word from Peter. For Peter says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." In other words, while we're bothered with years, we have to remember that when we get into that eternal design, there is no time. 1,000 years can be as one day to God. So he is coming back, and that was Peter's inspired revelation that was given to the disciples, and it continues with us today. He's always working. Christmas is a time for stories, and I imagine that we all have some stories, don't we? One of the stories that I will never forget, and I have repeated it again and again on Crusaders, and if I am to preach any more Christmas sermons, I will perhaps repeat it once more. We had 4 services, and the last service, which was at midnight, was over. Nearly everyone had gone. I think all were out of the church. And I was making my way home to bed. When I got in one particular section of our building that was not lighted, there was a voice. Pastor Larson. And I stopped, somewhat afraid that someone had come to get the Christmas offering. But it was my friend, my young friend whom I had watched for so many years in confirmation class. and which is a person who is very dear to my heart today. Visited with him just the other day. He comes back to see us once in a while. As we sat there and talked, he said, Tonight I have met Christ. Tonight I have received him as my Savior and my Lord. I hugged him. Out of all those thousands of people who had entered that church that night, there was at least one who knew the importance of his coming and anticipated also his second coming, whether it was at the end of the age or whether it was when he came to receive him. I am ready. He had been watching. And so it was. My brother in Christ. What a Christmas. What a Christmas it was. And it's my favorite Christmas story that I can't help telling again and again. His name is Larry, a very precious individual for me. And I repeat this because, oh, if on Christmas Eve night or any time you could pull a person aside who has worked with you as far as salvation is concerned, and could have said to you, today, I have received him as my Savior and my Lord. Sometimes the large crowds at Easter and Christmas are belittled. I never have wanted to do that. I wish there'd be the same crowd the next Sunday, but so be it, that's the way it is. When the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit works, and we never know what is going to happen. So I pray that in that large mass of people who will enter churches all over this world this week to celebrate the first coming of our Lord, they will also know that he's coming back. He's coming back at the end to receive all of us who are there. But he could come earlier to receive us one by one by one. So it is not only a time for us to be concerned about our own relationship with God, but it is also necessary for us to hear very clearly that this is a time that we are to go and evangelize, to tell the story of our Lord. Jesus is in this waiting period, waiting between his first coming and his second. But he says to his church, watch. And while you're watching and your own self is being made right through the power of the Holy Spirit, tell somebody else that Jesus Christ has died for them. Amen.
Christ is born. God in our love.
pray with me? Lord Jesus, may this be a blessed week. As we think of your first coming, because you loved us so much, the Father gave you to us for but a few years. But then he took you back, and now you have the promise, I will return. We know you will. For many of us, it may be that time of death. But for all of us, if not individually, then when that mass resurrection is over and our Lord has come. So grant that it may be a time of preparation and we may watch and shed this gospel with those about us. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As you prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord this coming week, it is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy. During this busy Advent season, let us take time to give thanks for the greatest gift of all, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the financial gifts of our listeners. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusaders sermons are available in our sermon library. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any size to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in his 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.